Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 21st of January, 2022. I'm joined by Carl.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about Gab versus Getter, Jordan Peterson resigning, and Sauron saying trans rights, because Sauron has joined the Labour Party now. That's what I'm hearing.
Apparently.
So, yeah. Let's mention the first things on the website, so the new stuff that's come out. So the first thing here being the politics of V for Vendetta between you and John there.
Yeah, this was fantastic. I honestly thought we weren't going to be able to go very deeply into this, the themes of V for Vendetta, because they're all quite on the surface. But John had also read the graphic novel, and he really did a good job of it, and it was a genuine pleasure to record this.
I never actually thought about the anarchist aspect. I don't know why. Maybe I just watched it when I was young and I never thought about that. But no,
well, there is that. But also we get to explore, I think, is it Frank Miller? Oh, I can't remember the name. I can't remember which author it was now. But we get to explore his like leftist dystopia fantasy. It was good. Really good.
And then if we go to the next one, we can see the...
Probably longer than the film as well.
The Infinite Opium Den, which is also an article by you. Local man goes to shop.
Yes. local man goes to phone shop, where they have on the wall... endless social media. And I'm like, yeah, but social media is addictive and bad for you. Is that really a selling point? And so I just explored those ideas in the article. I'm actually very pleased with it. I thought it came out quite well. So go and have a read.
I love the thumbnail there as well.
Exactly. It's a great analogy, isn't it? Like, because the social media is like a drug. And so it's like endless social media. It's like, oh, brilliant. I've walked into an infinite opium den where they're just, you know, bottomless opium pipes.
Roy Stewart's poking his head and just being like, what?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't remember?
No.
Him smoking opium in Afghanistan? Remember all the Tories are trying to brag about how they all did drugs? And yeah, Rory came out of the woodwork and be like, cannabis, that's for pussies. I do opium.
But it's not good. And so that's my thoughts on it.
Let's go to the next one. So this is a premium video interview with, oh, sorry, I missed the name there, Taras Kobotsky. Sorry, I'm probably butchering that.
Taras Kobernik.
So this is Rory interviewing him on Google.
Well, yeah, who is
opinion.
He?
Well, he gave the wrong opinion in Google that, well, I think it's that women exist and biology exists. Yeah.
He's a Google insider, and he talks to Rory about what it's like inside of Google. Mm. There are quite a few of these people coming out of the woodwork now saying, yeah, it's cancerous in there. I haven't actually had time to listen to it yet, so I'm going to do that after the podcast.
If we get the next one, we have National Divorce. What If the US Breaks Apart by Hugo, with an audio track for listeners for Gold and Silver Tier, of course, as well. So
I quite like the idea of the free state of Florida.
The multi-state solution to the blue question.
But this but this is a genuine concern, because at the rate that the Democrats have essentially ostracized the Republicans from being moral agents and worthy of consideration, that does mean that essentially the US is in danger of breaking apart. That's what that is. That's why everyone's calling it a national divorce. There's no goodwill that underpins what the Democrats are doing. And yet you have people like Trump who govern as moderates, because there is this sort of like, well, we're one country. It's like, not according to the Democrats, you're not. Mm. According to the Democrats, you guys are the problem.
Getting Kaiser Reich vibes, though. I know you don't know what that is. It's a mod for Hoi 4, mm-hmm. where the United States falls apart like that on the same sort of grounds. And Douglas MacArthur's solution is just put them down. Just everyone is revolting, put them down, and I'm on his side of that one.
That would be my solution too.
But anyway, the last thing to mention as well, which is the book clubs that we're basically writing the notes for. So I've just about, well, I'm halfway through doing the notes for Active Measures. So anyone who's reading along or wants to know what the hell's going on, that's what that is. And you are doing Discourses on Inequality by Rousseau.
Yeah.
Correct?
It's fantastic. So you're all going to love it. We're going to talk about that a bit later in the podcast, actually, just because it's so relevant to what the left is doing right now. It really is the framing of all of their philosophy.
But without further ado, let's get into the news.
Yeah, so Recently, there's on in the sort of alternative sphere, which I guess we occupy, as well as everyone else who's any interesting in any way, there's been a bit of a kick-up about Gab and Getter and these two competing social media accounts, that platforms that are basically like Twitter in most ways and sort of Twitter replacements. And so I thought I would stupidly come and give my opinions on it because I'm a bit of a radical centrist on the issue. Because everyone is assigning certain standards to judge the platforms by, but neither of the platforms really adhere to these standards. And I think that I'm worried that there's going to be an unnecessary amount of bad blood that's created. And it's really annoying watching two right-wing alternatives starting to tear chunks out of each other. When, I mean, really, are we in a position to start infighting at this point? Have we got such a vast kingdom that it's worth dividing among two heirs and things like this? You know, is there really no problem from Sauron and his minions that we'll get into later? This is just ridiculous. And just so to explain, you know, why I'm invested in this and my credentials, I suppose, on the subject, as you can see, I've had a Getter account since July 2021, so about 6 months-ish. But if you can go over to my Gab account, I've had that since 2017. While I still had a Twitter account, and I've promoted Gab many times. I use Gab on a daily basis because I do actually think it's a very good platform, especially after the deplatforming of Parler, and a lot of people went over to Gab because it was the only option. And you could tell that Torba's servers were just getting absolutely ground under the weight. And then, you know, you obviously did some big upgrade, and now it runs smooth as anything. So it's very professional and works fine now. And so let's begin with some transparency, because I've always been transparent. People think we're being paid by Gab because we Getter, because we promote Getter at the end of our videos, and normally at the beginning of the podcast, but we didn't bother because there's going to be a whole segment on it. No, we are not. What we have with Getter is a gentleman's agreement. So they offered us money in a contract to promote their platform in our YouTube videos, as well as putting our accounts in their algorithm for the sort of recommended feed. We refused the money and the contract, of course, and instead entered into a gentleman's agreement with Getter that we would promote them in our clips and they'd put us in their recommended feed. And so both parties benefit from this, no money changed hands. And so I feel like I'm in a reasonably fair position to be able to judge both platforms, like I use both. And I did ask Torba when we first started Lotusseeders. I messaged him, posted that a message on Gab, asking him if he'd put us in the sort of news recommended feed next to it. And he just ignored me. So I was like, and he follows me as well. So I was surprised.
He may have not seen it,
but I was surprised, because I would have happily done the same for Gab as well if he had wanted to have one of these gentlemen's agreements. But so to be clear, I think that Getter seem fine. They're very mainstream, if that's the appropriate term to use. They're mainstream Republicans, whereas Gab is obviously sort of alternative, you know, like
Christian types, that sort of thing.
Yeah, but it's that's not...
But also what, dissidents and whatnot.
Yeah, what I'm trying to frame it is actually, it's grassroots, right? And so it's something that has been made by just regular people that has come up because of its virtues. Getter is the product of structures and institutions and investors, right? And obviously we're not the product of structures and institutions and investors. We're grassroots too. So I've got a natural affinity for Gab. And I honestly really do respect Andrew Torba as well. I know there are people who are like, yeah, but he's a Christian zealot and stuff like that. Yeah, sure, right, he is. But that's not the worst thing you can be, by far. You know, that doesn't make him an immoral man. He looks like, you know, I follow him and stuff. So he looks like a family man and husband and a man who promotes virtue, which is good. You know, I'm not saying that's nothing to say about Jason Miller or anything. But the point is, there's nothing wrong with Andrew Torba, and he's a free speech absolutist, which in my heart of hearts, I would say that I am as well. You know, if someone would say, well, what should we ban? I'd be like, well, don't ban anything, and I'll curate what I think I should see, you know. But anyway, so I don't think Getter are in any way sus. I just think they come from a different environment, a different paradigm. And so it's based, I think, essentially on the kind of person that Miller and Torba are. Miller is a connected political strategist. He was one of Trump's campaign advisors, he was in the White House for 6 months advising Trump. And Torba is a grassroots freedom fighter. And so they come at different, the same problem from different perspectives. And I don't think one is more advantageous or more morally superior than the other. Although, like I said, I do have moral leanings towards Tauber because I agree that, you know, there's something noble about being outside of all the institutions, the Robin Hood character.
Yeah, like, you know, he writes all his code, he's got his own servers.
I think
like,
he's Mastodon code, actually.
Oh, do they?
I don't know
anything about code.
So well, I learned this from watching the Timcast episodes about this.
But I know he's very proud of having his own servers, for example.
And that's easily Gab's greatest strength. Is that because in, I think it was 2018, Tauber was deplatformed from everything, and unfairly as well, just because he wouldn't deplatform white nationalists because of his commitment to free speech. He himself had done nothing wrong, as far as I'm concerned. And so he, rather than bend the knee, as Parler did, he was like, no, get effed. I'm going to sort this out on my end. And so he got his own infrastructure in place. He just, you know, doubled down on everything and just powered through it and came out on the other side with a successful platform. You know, Gab probably has about the same user base or just a little bit fewer people than Getter at this point. Getter's got about 4.5 million active users. Gab's probably got about 3 million, I'd estimate. And so it's impressive that he managed from nothing, and after having the Eye of Sauron on him and destroying him, to come back from that, to have what he's got. You know, and the fact that he's never apologized, I love it, right? But his Miller is a different kind of person. He comes from the political arena, and he is connected through various investors. Now, in his Timcast IRL podcast that he did, I think it was the day before yesterday, and then Tauber's one was yesterday, and this is what we're going to be talking about. Miller, it's accused that Gab's funded by Getter's funded by Chinese money. Apparently, that's not true. So this is Miller's what he stated. He says he's got investors in the UK, Canada, and the US, and he is friends with a Chinese dissident who is opposed to the CCP. And it lives in exile, basically, because of that. And so, okay, fair enough. You know, so I don't think that Jason Miller is a suspect character. I don't think that Getter's honeypots, but I do think that Gab has the advantage that it owns its own infrastructure, whereas Getter doesn't. It uses Amazon Web Services. And I think it's the connection to the mainstream that Getter has and that Miller has through his network of people that he knows and the fact they're using mainstream infrastructure that narrows the ability of Miller to be able to agree or disagree or assent and dissent from certain positions that Andrew Tauber can embrace. And again, that's not a judgment. That's not like, you know, there's something bad about Jason Miller because of that. It's just the kind of person that he is and the environment in which he exists is different to the one that Tauber exists in. And so they essentially, though, end up serving different constituencies and they end up with different aims. So Miller is trying to create a mainstream Twitter alternative to prevent Democrat dominion of the political space, whereas Tauber is trying to secure inalienable rights and create a parallel internet because his commitment to his principles has seen him persecuted from every other online space. And so, again, just say I've never disavowed Tauber, and I've heard people say that I have. It's like, go on, find me the clip where I disavowed Tauber. Honestly, I have the utmost respect for anyone who doesn't bend the knee. I really do. So anyway, the reason, like I said, that I'm doing this, I don't really want to see these two groups tearing chunks out of each other. It's just it's just gross at this point. You know, what's the point? What's to be gained? You know, it seems like a battle of egos. But anyway, so Jason Miller went on Timcast, and it was not as bad. Like, I saw people on Twitter saying, oh, he got wrecked by Tim. But I didn't come across from that impression at all. I watched the entire 2 hours. I thought that Jason was defending his position as someone in the mainstream, right? And the fact that he came on Tim's show and they grilled him for over an hour or so about, like, you know, the terms and conditions on Getter, because they are in many ways very similar to the terms and conditions of Twitter, and it's obviously because he's using Amazon back end, and they are going to have certain, in even if they're not in the actual terms and conditions in print, they're going to be unspoken rules that they will enforce or potentially will enforce at a moment's notice. But one thing I found interesting is that Jason Miller doesn't want any depictions of graphic violence, as in the moment of a person like being blown up or something. He doesn't want that on there. And so, you know, as in someone being killed, and Tim pushes back quite successfully on this, I think, saying, well, look, you know, that actually may well remove newsworthy pieces of footage, like Daniel Aronson being shot in Portland or George Floyd dying on the street. Getter also doesn't allow racial slurs and pornography. Which is fair enough. Again, an Amazon-hosted site is not going to allow that. I mean, what do you expect? And then if we go to the next link, it's just Torber on Timcast. And so Jason Miller, he wasn't, but before we go on, Jason Miller wasn't defensive, but he was being grilled a lot. And so he held his own, I thought, quite well. And I thought his demeanor was fine. You know, people are acting like he was shook or something. He's like, no, I don't think he was. But when Torber goes on Timcast, you can see that he's a lot more relaxed than in his element. He's talking to, again, other dissidents, basically. Other people who aren't really mainstream. And, of course, by the standards from which this conversation and their platforms are being judged, as in, what is their commitment to free speech, Torber's a lot more in his element because he's a free speech extremist, basically. The position that Getter physically can't take. And in this environment, therefore, he holds a trump card because the standard of our area of the internet seems to be whether one can say the N-word or not. Let's be honest, it is. And I don't do that sort of thing anymore. let's watch Tim talking to Jason Miller for a moment.
Getter clearly is going to allow more speech than these other platforms, but I'm wondering why it is that Getter has the same language. We say that you outright say you cannot be, you know, hateful racially or ethnically or obscene, and we see that same language on all the other big tech Silicon Valley platforms.
So a couple of things here, because again, keep in mind that for most countries, especially in the U.S., your free speech rights, for the most part, extend up until the point where they infringe on someone else's rights. If we're going to have a platform where we allow people to come on and keep it very real politically, to keep it very politically incorrect, if that's where they want to be, there have to be some standards in place to make sure that people don't think that it's a threatening or potentially illegal environment.
But hateful?
But you notice we do not use hate speech, which is a phrase that the left has taken over, and then it's like, wait, who defines it as hate speech, for example. But here's one of the things we're not going to allow to happen on Getter, and this is something where I get a lot of pushback from people, but they've said, or we've said, excuse me, that we're not going to allow racial or religious epithets on the platform. I have not had one person who's come to me yet and said, you know what, if only I could use the blank word, then it would be an okay platform. You know, the fact that I like Getter, except I can't use the blank word. It's just, you have to go and have, you're not going to make every single person happy, but we have to have a platform, especially being global. The US is about 57% right now of our overall base. It's a global platform. We have to make sure that people, regardless of your religious or your racial background, that you feel welcome on the platform.
So I've had people saying to me that because I can't use the blank word, I'm not using Getter, Butz Waldman. So it goes to show you the waters in which he swims, right? And basically what he's saying is it's going to be Republican Twitter. Okay. It's going to be a safe place for right-wing politicians and pundits, mainstream ones who have got reputations to uphold that will be attacked by left-wing outlets, to go without the stigma that the left will attach to them of being associated with white nationalists. That's what that's for. That's what he's saying. And that is a genuine practical concern for those people in those spaces. If you want to build the sort of network that Tucker Carlson will join, which he is on Getter, then you're going to have to take precautions like that, because the Republicans, the mainstream Republicans, know that they can't have any truck with white nationalism. And so let's watch Torber's standard for Gab.
I guess Gab is the one place where your only rule is what, the First Amendment?
Yeah, I actually brought a copy of our terms of service right here, right?
Aha. So, it's a pocket constitution.
If you want me to read it, you know, Congress shall make no law representing an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of or abridgment of the freedom of speech.
I quite like that. That was cute.
Yeah, it is cute.
Yeah, good for Torber. But that's the point, though. He's got the freedom to do that. But this is why the Republican politicians won't go on his platform, because that allows lots of N-words and lots of complaints about a certain chosen people. And so they don't want to be associated with that, and they're not going to do it. And so let's hear Jason Miller talking about why he banned Nick Fuentes, because Nick Fuentes had gone on Getter, registered for it, and said, are there any groupers on here? And let's watch.
You say that people will not be treated differently, but a lot of people are asking why Nick Fuentes was banned from Getter And what we're hearing is everybody saying he did not break any of your rules.
Would disagree on that. It's there was a post that he brought or put on Getter that was interpreted from our position as recruiting people who are in the white nationalist space. And that's not something when it comes to one of the white nationalist groups that we're going to allow to happen on Getter. And look, I'm not going to allow.
What was the statement? What did he say?
He was effectively reaching out and are there other groupers that are on here?
How would you define a grouper?
As a white nationalist.
But you don't allow white nationalists on Getter?
Many people would be concerned that if you're turning Getter effectively into the OKCupid of the.
What's the specific term of service that he violated with that post?
So that would go into, as we talk about a white nationalist group, you talk about what that impact is going to be for, say, people of different races or religions.
So that because the presence of a white nationalist would be negative to another group, you've banned him?
I would describe it differently. I would say from the fact that you're trying to then recruit for one of these organizations. Then
so Black Lives Matter's banned?
I would say if you went on there and said that, say, any group that's viewed as is existing only to go and hate on people who are of a different race or religion, and you try to turn Getter into a recruitment zone, then we'd kick you off as well.
So you can see here how by trying to agree that it is something in the terms of service that got Fuentes deplatformed from Getter, that Miller then essentially has painted himself into a bit of a corner. Because, like, well, Black Lives Matter are black nationalists, how could you allow them on? But they're a mainstream organization. Like, they're very, very mainstream. And so he doesn't want to outright prohibit those people going on. But the white nationalists, of course, incredibly fringe. But they do operate on the same principle. And because he's talking from a position of principle, he is painted into a corner where Tim does have him a bit pinned on this one. Says, well, look, you know, you'd have to ban Black Lives Matter too. He should have, and I couldn't find the clip in time for the podcast, but on the because I'd watched it all yesterday, and I was going through this morning getting the clips. But Torba did say that, look, he would have had respect for him if he'd just say, well, look, he doesn't want white nationalists on his platform. He should have just said it, you know. And that would have been understandable. People were like, okay, well, fair enough. You know, that's his choice. It's a mainstream Republican platform. What are you going to do? Torba doesn't have this problem, of course, because his backers are grassroots. This is a sort of like the Bernie Sanders small donor model rather than an investor model. But it's obvious that the investors for Getter are not going to want to have created a white nationalist platform, you know, a platform where white nationalists proliferate. And this is essentially what he's saying, you know, I don't want to be the OK Cupid of white nationalists. So he has to resort to saying, well, it's because I don't want them recruiting on the platform. It's like, yeah, you know, they could do that by simply not saying anything like that is obvious, you know, using dog whistles, basically. They could have done that.
I don't understand the reserve to just be like, yeah, well, if BLM are promoting black nationalism.
Well, because it looks bad in his space.
I don't think it does.
I think it does.
Right.
Because if he wants left-wingers to join, like people, when I say left-wingers, I mean sort of like the centre-left, moderate Democrats.
Sure, but that's why I say you could put it in the phrase of like, well, there's no racial nationalism. If you're promoting it, and we catch you promoting it, then you're gone.
Yeah,
and then they would be like, oh, we're not racial nationalists. We're just for black lives or some shit like
that. Yeah, but Tim had that quite sewn up during the podcast. And so the moderate Democrat who may well have said, yeah, of course Black Lives Matter, not knowing anything about the Marxist roots of it, that person would be implicated with the sort of like most extreme Nation of Islam sort of types, which he did say would be banned incidentally as well, because of course they're racial nationalists. And this was something that obviously didn't go down well with the free speech absolutists, and I can totally understand why. But it's really about the standard they're applying to the platform that doesn't claim to adhere to that standard. And I'm a very practical person when it comes to social media. We at Lotuses use everything. You can literally find any media platform and social media platform, and we're on it. And I personally use practically, you know, everything anyway. And so it's one of those things where it's like, look, you've just got to work with the clay that you have, right? And I just want to point out that Torba and Gab also ban pornography. And it's essentially the same argument that he makes to banning pornography that Miller makes to banning white nationalists. Let's watch.
So I pulled up your terms of service, as we've done with the past CEOs.
Sure, sure.
And I got to say, some of this stuff is protected by the First Amendment, and sure, you do ban it.
Well, the founding fathers didn't have things like doxing. They didn't have things like spam, internet spam. Pornography is protected by the First Amendment technically, but I would say that the founding fathers would be appalled that it is protected and that SCOTUS ruled that, because the founding fathers believed that our country and our rights and our liberties belong to a morally righteous people, and I don't think that they would defend that. And secondly,
well, that's an opinion.
It is. It's my opinion. Sure.
So I do think it's fair to point out, because we do have people asking about porn.
Sure.
Personally, I understand why you're like, look, this is not something we want on our platform, because it's very different from an expression platform, conversations, arguments, right, debates, ideas. But maybe the appropriate way to deal with it would be a filter, as opposed to saying, even though it is protected, I don't think it's right.
Well, the problem is that people don't use the filter, and then bots come on and spam the heck out of every comment section, every top post, every reply with porn. Are people going to use a site like that?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? If the bots, and assume it's bots and not people doing it, they're spamming every comment section with unsavory material, regular people are not going to want to use a platform like that. And I agree, and I don't begrudge him this at all, but in the same way that he criticized Jason Miller for saying we should have said we don't want white nationalists on the platform, he should have said, well, we don't want pornography and pornographers on the platform because of the kind of environment we're trying to create. Because, I mean, Torb is a Christian and a family man. I can totally understand why he has this position on porn, and I'm very sympathetic to it. And no one begrudges Facebook for not allowing porn or Instagram for not allowing porn. This is a totally normal prohibition to have, even if it's a violation of free speech. But the thing is, because Torb has set himself up as a free speech absolutist, now he has to try and carve out an exemption for porn, saying, well, these aren't really protected. And it's like, well, technically they are. That's the thing. It's a form of expression that counts as free speech. But
is it political speech?
It could be.
Yeah, but that's the differential.
Well, look at, what's the Ukrainian feminist group?
Oh, Pussy Riot.
No, that's the band, but there's Femin, I think they're called. Okay. But they actually do use pornography as a form of political propaganda and political argument.
Well, I wonder where he would be on that. I presume he'd ban it anyway for being porn.
Well, absolutely. But
his defense was that it's conversations that are allowed on Getter, and that's the purpose.
Sure, but the point is, it's basically the same reason. This makes the space inappropriate in a way that I don't want it to be, and we don't feel that it should be, and it's like, that's fine. And I'd actually raised this point on Gab, because I use Gab all the time. I've got 78,000 followers on there or something, more than I've got on Getter, and I've been using it for lots of reasons. But one of the things you can't miss, and I'd posted, like, look, right, people need to understand that not many normies actually want to hang out on a platform that has a bunch of Nazi spurgs on it. I'm not trying to be rude, but spamming my comment sections with Hitler quotes and anything about the Holocaust or random racial slurs doesn't make it a very pleasant place to visit, so a lot of people won't. It's the same argument that Torpo was making about porn, and he's not wrong, and I'm not wrong either. It's the same logic, it's the same argument. Literally, if you just scroll down, I bet the first reply is about Hitler or Jews. I know it's people agreeing, right? Okay, well, that's good. But in other threads, this was part of a series of posts I'd made. In other ones, it was just like Spurgs going, you're so triggered. It's like,
you've shown me my phone sometimes where you commented something, and then like the immediate response will be from Spurg.
Yeah.
You'll show me the phone and just be like, for God's sakes.
Yeah, exactly. It's not edgy or like, like there was someone like, oh, you're so triggered. It's like, no, I'm really not. This is tiresome. This is wasting my time. I don't.
Weird news.
Yeah, exactly. It's weird and cringe, frankly. And so this is definitely something that is dissuading mainstream pundits and politicians from going on Gab, without a doubt, 100%. In the same way that pornography would as well. It's not that either one of them is wrong about the argument. It's about the constituency they're trying to serve and the principles they're trying to uphold and the environment they're trying to create. Torber is less sensitive to Hitler worship and Jews and racial slurs than he is to pornography. And it's just his preference. And
sure,
that's fine.
But I also reckon he more highly defends it on the basis that it is political speech, because he's referencing the First Amendment.
Sure.
The defense always in the Supreme Court is
political. Absolutely. He's got a higher standard than Getter have, but then Getter are trying to operate in a different space than he is and can't adopt that standard even if they wanted to. There's also a point in the in both streams where and that Tim and his team are pressing Tauber and Miller for certainty that they couldn't be deplatformed or wouldn't be deplatformed. And I understand why they would be looking for this. And generally, I've got to say, Tim and his team and both of the guests, I think they all handled themselves very well. The tone and tenor of the conversations was very respectful and very mature, which I was surprised at because I expected someone to start shouting at someone because when you've got like five people in a room arguing about things they really passionately believe in, it's hard to keep it cool sometimes. So good on that. But so one of the things they were pressing for is, look, how can we be certain that we won't get deplatformed, that some won't get deplatformed? And the thing is, I don't think you can have certainty about this. Miller was pressed very, very firmly on this. And his responses were generally good, but not as good as Tauber's. Tauber's response was actually very good because he framed it in a way that didn't appeal to the black and white hard letter of the rules, but spoke to the fact that it's people using this. This is human endeavor. So we haven't got this abstract set of rules that can find a solution in all times and all places. You know, it's our judgment. Let's watch the clip.
Ultimately, at the end of the day, you know, human beings have to make these decisions, right? And they're hard. I mean, even the Supreme Court, when they were pressed with this same exact topic, you know, Justice Potter Stewart, I believe, said, you know it when you see it.
It's fair. And Jason Miller, unfortunately, couldn't say that because he's in this more sort of mainstream and, dare I say, rationalistic view of what the terms and conditions are. And so it's just a reality that you can't actually create these hard and fast rules that would dictate every situation and guarantee that nobody can be banned. But I think Andrew Tauber did have the superior view on banning, which is this.
If someone gets banned with an account for violating it and then they spin up a new account,
I mean, it's really difficult for us to know that it's going to be them. But honestly, if they are, as long as they're going to learn their lesson and not, you know, do whatever they did again, I'm okay with them starting fresh. I don't think that's a problem.
Ian talks about this. I think it's a good idea, too. He says ban the account, not the person.
Correct. No, so when we're moderating, too, you know, our moderation focuses on the individual post. I think it's absurd that we, you know, ban an entire account for one post. A lot of times people have a bad day. Right. And they posted something that maybe they shouldn't have. They were threatening someone or something, and they're taking their rage out on somebody on the internet. Right.
That's incredibly human.
That's exactly my notes.
Yeah.
It's a very human perspective on it. And this is the contrast between Tauber and Jason Miller. Jason Miller's got a very I don't want to say ideological because that sounds negative, but it's rationalistic. It's very well thought out. It's like, well, these are the rules, and therefore the rules have to be accounted for. But I think that's the perspective is ban the account, not the person, I think is exactly right, because that brings in the sort of Christian charitable view of forgiveness, right? As in the person that was having a bad day and, you know, they can learn their lesson. I mean, don't get me wrong, this person might get account after account banned because they have lots of bad days and don't learn their lesson. But I think that's the correct way of approaching it. And I think if that were to become the norm, then social media would just be a better place overall. Yeah. But anyway,
this is kind of a side topic, but yeah. I wonder if it should be freeze rather than ban, because in reading the Active Measures book, quite frankly, a lot of these accounts, even if it's a lot of Spurgs mostly, can actually be useful historical documents or just useful to go back and find out what they said.
It is insufferable to find a Twitter thread where half of the replies are missing because the account's been banned.
The data's not deleted. They've still got it.
I just don't know what was being said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll end. Sorry, I know this has gone on a bit, but this has been quite a big deal. And I don't want to imply that I'm siding with one side or the other either, because like I said, I use both of these platforms on a daily basis.
Including others.
But I use them for different reasons and for different things. I post more sort of intellectual commentary on Getter. I post more spicy stuff on Gab. Anyway, let's finish with Tauber's prophecy.
They think that if they ban hate speech and they bend the knee and they ban political dissidents like Nick Fuentes, that, you know, Apple and Google are going to be benevolent to them and they're going to let them exist. But what they don't realize is that they're built on Silicon Valley infrastructure and trying to take on Silicon Valley. Okay, you cannot take on Silicon Valley built on Silicon Valley infrastructure. It is a matter of time. The second that Getter or Truth Social or whoever it is gets big enough, they're going to pull the rug out. And their excuse could be whatever. It could be medical misinformation. It could be election misinformation. It could be protecting our democracy, right? Take your pick. They can ban you for no reason because Bezos wakes up and decides, I don't want to host Parler anymore. One click, goodbye. That's what happened to Parler. That's what happened to us. And that's why we built our own infrastructure.
And he's completely correct on that. That is exactly what happened to Parler. They were framed for the January the 6th riots. It was not organized on Parler. It was organized on Facebook. But Facebook's part of the club. Therefore, it doesn't matter. And so I guess my advice to Getter is get your own infrastructure. Because he is right. They will do it. They've got a history of doing it. As soon as Getter gets too big, they will just find a reason. It will be completely arbitrary. And they will deplatform you. You've got to be prepared for this. And so anyway, follow us on Getter and Gab. This is our Gab account. And if we can go to the next one, this is our Getter account. So follow us on both of those platforms. Because again, we like the people involved in all of them. We use both of them on a daily basis. And I'd like to see them both succeed.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I was expecting more to disagree with you on something. I didn't know what your take was going to be.
I have thought this through very deeply.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on because we're running out of time. So, Jordan Peterson has resigned from his position at the University of Toronto, and I think this is also a signal for the death of the university as an institution. That's a rather large claim.
It's a very strong claim.
However, I think Jordan Peterson's own words will actually lay out that, well, yes, it is only a matter of time now. It is not an if, but a when. And this is the article from him in the National Post, in which he has written his full words in text. However, if we go to the next link, we can see he actually also did a video on this, where he just read it out, and, well, I'd rather listen to him than me reading, so we'll do that. So if we go to the first clip, please.
I recently resigned from my position as full tenured professor at the University of Toronto. I am now Professor Emeritus, and before I turn 60. Emeritus is generally a designation reserved for superannuated faculty, albeit those who had served their term with some distinction. I had envisioned teaching and researching at the U of T full time until they had to haul my skeleton out of my office. I loved my job. And my students, undergraduates and graduates alike, were positively predisposed toward me. But that career path was not meant to be. There are many reasons, including the fact that I can now teach many more people and with less interference online. But here's a few more. First, my qualified and supremely trained heterosexual white male grad students, and I've had many others, by the way, are no longer eligible upon graduation for university research positions, despite stellar scientific dossiers. This is partly because of diversity, inclusivity, and equity mandates. My preferred acronym, DIE. These have been imposed universally in academia. Despite the fact that university hiring committees had already done everything reasonable for all the years of my career, and then some, to ensure that no qualified minority candidates were ever overlooked.
So that's why I'm making this claim. And the video is much longer, and you should go and watch it in your full time if you're interested, especially. But we're going to focus primarily on the racial stuff, because as he mentions there, essentially, his white students have no future.
Yeah. Thomas and I did a weekend segment yesterday about the University of York, which has exactly that.
Yes. His white students of any kind, but especially the male ones, and especially the heterosexual male ones, don't have a future at the university.
Yeah.
They will not get funding.
Because they're white.
But there is no reason for that constituent of society, especially in Canada, but apparently also in York, and I'm sure in many other places around the Western world, there is no reason to go to university for those people anymore. Just de facto. You're not going to get the funding. You're not going to be looked upon in the same way as anyone else. In fact, you're going to be at the bottom of the pile. No point. Well, if that's the case...
Moreover, if you need funding to do it and you can't get funding, then that means that only the independently wealthy will be able to do it.
Yeah. This is why I'm making the claim that this very well might be the death of the university as an institution, at least.
Certainly for non-aristocrats.
Yeah, that's not what it used to be. The university was a place of learning in which you could go and learn things. And instead, it is not. It is a place of racial politics. And I'd mention this again just to bring up some of the other examples we've covered before, because this is never going to be normal to me. And I'm going to keep mentioning it. I know I do, but it's because it's disgusting. And in here, we can see examples from the civil service, GCHQ, MI5, and the BBC. And if we go to the next link, we can see that the fast track for the civil service, that's still up. I mean, it still kills me. This is just up. You can still apply. If you're white, not so much. If we go to the next link, we can see more examples. So this is just within the...
I mean, this is literally illegal, though, isn't it?
This is all illegal.
It's just not being enforced.
Just the police will not do their jobs, and people don't take them to court. So it just carries on. As we can see here, ITV, BBC, QI, and Discovery Channel, all advertising trainee roles in which, if you're white, no, you can't go. You're not allowed to apply for those positions. They will not accept you.
It's disgusting.
Let's go to Nonceflix as well, of course. So we go to the next link. We can see Nonceflix here, also doing the same thing. Big shock, mm-hmm. I'm sure. And if we go to the next one, we can also see, I believe it's the Welsh government, who had COVID loans. So if you lost your job because of COVID and wanted to set up a small business, they were handing out loans, except you had to be BAME, disabled, or a woman.
Basically all on the same level of disadvantage.
But I know we laugh about it, and it is absurdist, but at the same time, it is the same claim. It is that your group identity is the primary thing that is of value about you.
But also a salute to the misogynist who wrote that.
I
Women, basically disabled people, aren't they?
Yeah, also incredibly racist to be like, if you're black, you're disabled as well. Yeah, also if you're young, you're disabled.
Yep. That's true.
But it's you know, we laugh about it and it is funny, but it is also horrific. I mean, like Jordan was pointing out, his own students do not have a future at their university because they are white.
Yeah.
That is a primary reason as to why they have no reason to be there. And if we go to the next clip, I'd like to see his summing up of this.
There are simply not enough qualified BIPOC people in the pipeline. BIPOC, black, indigenous, and people of color. For those of you not in the knowing woke. This has been common knowledge among any remotely truthful academic who has served on a hiring committee for the last three decades. This means we're out to produce a generation of researchers utterly unqualified for the job. And we've seen what that means already in the horrible grievance studies disciplines.
It's a fantastic point. Combine it with the point he made previously that we have never, ever looked over someone who's a minority because we are so pushed to make sure that we have the right numbers that even people who don't deserve to be pushed up the pile are getting pushed up the pile. Well, now we don't even have enough BIPOC people to even make the goals you're asking for.
Although this is just going to contribute to the continued degradation of our institutions.
It's insanity. And, well, that if it's the case that universities are just saying that if you are white, if you are a man, or if you are heterosexual, you don't have a place at this university, well, then those groups should look elsewhere. Hmm. They should not look to university in the future.
I've got no doubt they'll go to private institutions.
Yeah. And if we go to the next clip, we can see, well, what's the goal? What are the numbers now? So let's play.
CBS, for example, has literally mandated that every writer's room be at least 40% BIPOC in 2021, 50% in 2022. We are now at the point where race, ethnicity, gender, or sexual preference is first accepted as the fundamental characteristic defining each person, just as the radical leftists were hoping, and second is now treated as the most important qualification for study, research, and employment.
I don't know what the numbers are, but I severely doubt that Canada is 50% non-white.
It's 73% white.
Right, so they are more than double, or about, yeah, more than double representation of the population.
Mm.
That's not representation, is
no,
it?
No, it's not.
That's domination.
Supremacy.
Yes.
There's a position of supremacy that is being demanded, and not only demanded, but enforced by CBS. State-run media.
It's mad.
I mean, this is how bad Cacadia is. I mean, I know we dab on the Canadians for being cucks, but...
They really are. I mean, I saw Trudeau's polling numbers the other day, and he's well in the black with the polls. It's like, how the hell can you vote for this guy?
Mm.
He's an evil monster. And yet they're like, yeah, you know, like...
It's not just us in the West who notice all this. The East notices everything we do as well.
Of course they do.
Jordan makes this point, but just by quoting Putin, who is mocking the West in one of his speeches, in which he's just like, Lamau, you're doing this to yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. So, no one's making you do this.
I couldn't play the full quote because it's too long, but let's play a portion of it.
Putin continues, "This, I believe, should call to mind some of what we are witnessing now. Looking at what is happening in a number of Western countries, we are amazed to see domestic practices, which we fortunately have left, I hope, in the distant past. The fight for equality and against discrimination has turned into aggressive dogmatism bordering on absurdity when the works of the great authors of the past, such as Shakespeare, are no longer taught at schools or universities because their ideas are believed to be backward. The classics are declared backward and ignorant of the importance of gender and race. In Hollywood, memos are distributed about proper storytelling and how many characters of what color or gender should be in a movie. This is even worse than the agitprop department of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union." End of Putin's comments.
And Putin used to work for the KGB.
I was going to say, if anyone knows, it's Vladimir Putin. Mm. And what's really annoying is that that speech should have been coming out of the mouth of Boris Johnson.
Yes. And just finishing the Active Measures book club, he's also correct.
Of course he is.
There is nothing the Active Measures Department ever did as good and as successful as the SJWs have done in winning their race war.
Mm.
Their race war was a race war in which the race of you, or the gender, or all the rest of it, were the primary important thing about you, against the liberals, who didn't want that to be the primary important thing about you, but instead the content of your character, as Martin Luther King would say. They won the race war.
Yep.
That is a war that has happened, and the SJWs have won.
And if you want to know how this happened, you can go to loadcs.com, because we're doing a lot of work on critical race theory to understand why this has happened.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, we've always said that this is coming, and it's always been a thing on the horizon. But I think with Jordan Peterson's resignation and his words there of the reasons why, he does list other reasons as to why he personally has to resign.
But these are clearly the cause, the root of it.
Sure. But he mentions the fact that his students, because they're his students and therefore he's a heretic, those students are also sometimes overlooked. Or that there are professors in there who write dire statements in agreeing with all the ideology and then tell their students to lie and do the same, because they're all lying. None of them are crap. Or they'll subject themselves to unconscious bias training or the rest of it. That's always sort of taken place, as in the sense there have always been heretic lecturers who their students are overlooked. What's never been the place, at least for, let's say, decades, is that your race, gender, or all the rest of it determined whether or not you could go through a university.
Yeah.
And now it is again.
Yeah.
That is what they have done. They have won that fight. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
They have. And the reason they won is because this came from within our own ideology. Mm. That's the why. You couldn't have an outsider introduce this. It was insiders who did this.
And if we go to the section on Jordan Peterson's video, so I believe that video's got like 600,000 views, so go give it a watch in the full thing if you want to find out as well, because it's all on his channel. But he just has a series of, let's say, comments of people giving their first-hand account of what it's like as well.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, there's a professor that's resigned because of exactly these reasons. We don't have time to read the whole things because we're just too late. But if we go to the next one, we have students who left their degrees because they were forced to lie and just got sick of it, and then they left. We go to the next one. We have PhD student considering to leave because he can't stand it.
Mm-hmm.
Next one. This one's amazing. I will read it because we should. For the last 11 years, I have worked at one of the top medical schools in America. In order to meet equity policy, we recently got rid of grades and standards of excellence. This is a race to the bottom. Last week, we had several teachers resign because they were afraid to teach because they couldn't get through a single lecture without being called out. The entire school is comprised of people who individually know this is absurd but lack the courage to stand up to this agenda. When your future doctor is completely incompetent at the job, you'll know why.
This is Solzhenitsyn's, you know, that we know they're lying, they know that we know they're lying, and they're still lying.
And this is taking place all throughout, let's say, higher education of all forms. I mean, it's not just the humanities. It's the medical department. Yeah. We covered recently, what was it, them trying to push it into STEM, specifically physics. And if we carry on, if we go to the next one, this one's just disastrous. It's someone saying that for every job they have applied for this year, had a section at the bottom of the diversity, and it asks you if you're part of the LGBTQ+ community, as to whether or not you're getting the job.
Have you taken it up the arse?
Just say yes. What are they going to do? Yeah. Make you prove it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I suppose. But that's the level of...
But then you're consenting to the system, aren't you? And you're supporting the system.
But that is how far we have fallen.
Mm.
We've lost that war. And if we go to the next link, of course, this is not the only problem on universities. The most recent, again, popping up is Andy Ngo. Andy Ngo tried to give a talk at Dartmouth College, and it got cancelled because of Antifa terrorists threatening violence.
He's part of the LGBT community. What's the problem?
It's not the right kind.
Mm.
As you see, he says bomb-sniffing dogs had to be brought in because, you know... Movement of
peace. He's the nicest guy as well. He's just the nicest guy.
He's the wholesomest of people.
Yeah.
I thought I'd also end this off with maybe we shouldn't be surprised that Canada shows what the, as these people like to call it, the global liberal future shows, as the Trudeauists would like to say. I thought we'd have to play this because it's got loads of views, but it doesn't have enough. In which we have some footage here of Quebec. It's a talk show with some kids, and they're talking to the kids about the unvaccinated. And it's in French, so we'll say afterwards for people listening, but let's play the clip.
Oh, vaccin, vous autres?
Oui, tous les deux, on a une seule dose.
Ah oui? Puis est-ce que vous êtes d'accord, vous autres, avec la vaccination obligatoire?
Oui.
Oui? Ah oui, hein?
Wow.
On dirait que je les ai drillés, Julie.
Oui? Oui. Puis qu'est-ce qu'on devrait faire avec les gens qui veulent pas se faire vacciner?
On devrait appeler la police.
Ouh! Oui. Oui.
s'ils n'ont pas leur vaccin, ça peut mettre beaucoup de personnes en danger. Fait que comme le gouvernement est en train de faire en ce moment, il faut leur couper petite chose à petite jusqu'à temps qu'ils se tannent puis qu'ils se fassent vacciner.
En tout cas, on a des futurs politiciens à côté de nous. Merci! Merci beaucoup à tous nos invités.
It's like the Hitler Youth, and everyone around them is applauding it.
Sickening. I mean, that siren was perfectly timed. But yeah. For people listening, so they're asking the kids, are you in favor of mandatory vaccines? The kids say yes. What should we do with those who do not want it? Then the kids say, we should call the police and cut everything from them until they submit.
And you can hear the adults around them going, wee, wee.
And clapping like seals.
Yeah, future politician here.
Honestly, it's the seals that are the worst. I think they are the worst aspect of the
entire
system.
Yeah, the children have just been brainwashed. They don't know.
But
they don't know anything.
If you're in a situation in which you have a bunch of people being... do not clap. Do not be part of the SEAL group who just sit there clapping and clapping to absolute insanity. It's mad. But that's the situation. I mean, again, we're speaking of people who have committed no crime.
No.
But call the police. Cut everything from them until they submit.
I mean, why couldn't I just say that about the Jews in Nazi Germany?
Mm. So I thought we'd also check out, because this is Jordan Peterson's resignation, that's, you know, the right-wing situation or view of the whole thing. I thought we'd check out the left-wing view, so I had to go to twitter.com for that one. And I thought I'd just pick out the two, like, highest-rated comments, and let's see what the left had to say. So, Jordan Peterson has taught me that quitting your job voluntarily is being cancelled, and getting a column in the National Post is being silenced. Learn nothing.
He didn't say he was cancelled.
He didn't. But also, it's the point of him saying that, well, he can't actually stay in his position because all of his students have no future.
Yeah.
If they work under him.
It's a moral objection. He didn't say he was cancelled.
Nor did he say it was silence.
So, of course, the left have to... Well, I'm going to lie about you.
Let's try lying. Let's go to the next one, because this is a local here. Every progressive in the city right now finding out that Jordan Peterson has just rage quit his tenured position at the University of Toronto.
At least that's more honest.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. But just, you know, yeah, we have ruined the universities, the point that if you're white or male or
straight. And we're going to continue ruining them.
There's no reason going to university anymore. You are just wasting your time. De facto, because we will not promote you because you are the wrong race. And she's happy about that.
Of course she is.
That's the progressive future.
She's a female. She's not the wrong race.
And let's just check out her profile for a second, because I mean the state of it. I mean, just look at that. Pronouns in the bio. Gotta have that. And then if we can just... the image of the racial pride flag in the background is never going to be normal to me. We added black and brown stripes to the rainbow flag. Why? To represent skin tone. You what? Let's go to the next image just to look at... Yeah.
The state.
Yes. I'm not going to comment anymore. But that's Jordan Peterson's resignation. And quite frankly, I think maybe a cornerstone in which we look back and see it as the end of the universities and institution, at least in Canada, if nowhere else, if it is the case that you are only going to be promoted on the basis of your race.
So recently, a Conservative MP in Britain defected to the Labour Party because of Partygate and the catastrophic handling of this event and affair by Boris Johnson and his government. This is Bury South MP Christian Wakeford, who said, well, this wasn't a matter of deciding this morning. I want to be a Labour MP. This has been many months in the build-up. Imagine saying, I want to be a Labour MP. How embarrassing. Not that being Conservative MP is any less embarrassing, but just still. Whether it goes back to the issues over free school meals, over Dominic Cummings, over personal credit, over the cost of living crisis, the Owen Paterson affair, or now Partygate, there's been a lot of build-up and a lot of soul-searching that's taken many sleepless nights, but ultimately it's the right decision. I hope my former colleagues, certainly if they don't agree, they can certainly understand. It's his choice, of course. You know, I'm sure his constituents will be thrilled that they've voted for a Labour MP.
Do you know about his background on MP switching sides?
No.
He sponsored a bill that if an MP switched sides, there would be a by-election immediately.
I did see a lot of calls for a by-election. I just assumed that was people being salty.
Yeah, he called for it several years ago. And then when he's actually switched sides, he's like, oh, no, not for me.
Yeah, well, I definitely suspect that they need a by-election because Bury South had been Labour solidly until from 1997 until he won the election with only a small majority of like 400 votes. Yeah, so let's have that by-election. But anyway, Keir Starmer is certainly happy about this. Of course, welcomed him in. So, you know, I'd like to welcome Christian Wakeford to the Labour Party. I'm determined to build a new Britain which guarantees security, prosperity and respect for all, and I'm delighted that Christian decided to join us in this endeavour. I personally really don't want Starmer's administrative vision of a new Britain. I preferred the old one. But if you can get up that image there, that would be... Yeah, there we go. So you see this nice welcome image that the Labour team have put together. For some reason, they can't use a single straight line. I don't know why. It's just, you know, cool and edgy, I guess. But of course, this didn't play well with the radical left. who occupy still a significant portion of the Labour Party. People like the official Momentum Twitter account, which is Jeremy Corbyn's black shirts, took to Twitter to explain Wakeford's pedigree of crimes. They said he voted against enabling domestic abuse victims to have access to benefits irrespective of immigration status, as in domestic abuse victims from overseas should be paid for by the British taxpayer. Voted against addressing austerity, climate change and work insecurity, against preserving EU worker rights, and voted down reforms for social care. Voted down reforms for social care, including making personal care free. And he said no to affordable and safe housing and ending tax avoidance loopholes, blah, 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 blah. Labour cannot be the party of change at the next election and welcome a Tory MP to their benches who has consistently voted against progressive policies and consistently with a disastrous Tory government. So he did things that we don't like. Okay? Don't care. You're a bunch of communists. And Owen Jones decided to post this particular meme on Facebook. Right? Welcome Sauron, Labour MP for Mordor East. First point. Barad-dûr is in the northwest of Mordor. Idiots, right? I mean, anyone who knew anything about Tolkien would know that, of course. I mean, even me, and I'm not someone who's like an expert on Tolkien, but of course these people are wearing the meme as a skin suit. But what's he trying to say here? That Chris Wakeford is some kind of Sauron joining the Labour Party? The evil people will be welcomed into the Labour Party? Wakeford is clearly not some kind of radical, and Owen is clearly not aware of the meme that everyone thinks the radical left are Sauron and his minions already. After all, what if Sauron were just to say trans rights?
I mean, he'd have to endorse it.
They'd have to endorse it. They would literally have no choice. And we have many, many examples of them endorsing the villain because he says something the same. For example, there's a long history of this. So you've got Maleficent, which is the evil queen from Sleeping Beauty. Did an entire series of films on her, right? This is a quote from one review on The Independent. A sly feminist makeover of Sleeping Beauty. The film posited that its villain wasn't so much of a villain at all, but a woman whose trust had been violated in the most destructive of ways. Go and watch Sleeping Beauty and tell me if the evil queen isn't the villain. You know, honestly, right? It gets better. Is Chucky the newest gay icon? Chucky the serial killer trapped in a doll? But do you know why?
I don't know if I can say without saying something incredibly homophobic.
Well, say it in a way that's not.
I have no idea. Like, do they think that gay people go out and kill everyone or stab one in the back or something?
It's because Chucky said trans rights.
What?
Basically it.
Wait, Chucky's right.
No, Chucky's a male.
Right.
But he said, you know, gay rights, basically.
What, in the film?
Yeah.
What?
Like, listen, it's a show, I think it's a TV show now, but it's like, the show is bloody campy fun, but one moment in particular has caught the attention of LGBTQ+ fans. In episode
fans
two...
Fans of Chucky.
No. In episode two... No, it's fans of LGBTQ, right? Give me something good to eat. Jake attempts to convince Chucky to stop his murdering spree. He's in the middle of a murdering spree, right? That's not what the LGBTQ community is concerned about. But Chucky flips it around on him, appealing to his outsider status and offering a supportive ear. He says, "You know, I had a queer kid," says Chucky. "You have a kid?" "Gender fluid," he replies, referring to Glenn Glenda of the Seed of Chucky movie. "And you're cool with it," says Jake. And he says, "I'm not a monster, Jake." Wow.
I'm murdering people.
But I didn't misgender my gender fluid child. That's all it takes to become a gay icon.
A queer icon.
If you're a murderous, like, evil demon, that's fine. As long as you're not misgendering someone. As long as you say trans rights, that's all it takes. Right? And one commenter, apparently, in this article, they say, if a supernaturally possessed murderous doll can say gay rights, so can you. So I don't want to do anything.
I want to see that on a poster. Yeah, exactly. Like a campaigning poster.
Exactly, right?
If Chucky can vote Labour, why can't you?
This is not the only murderous demon that they've adopted as a gay rights icon, right? A queer icon. The Babadook is the villain of an Australian film that came out in 2014. There's, of course, like, you know, a terrifying monster. In fact, we have a tweet from Carlos Maza in this article. Babadook, "I'm a terrifying monster that destroys families that try to suppress me. Gay people. Oh my God, same. Drinks later." That's Carlos Maza.
Of course it is. The socialist
self-report. But it gets better. You know Pennywise, the evil clown? He is also a gay icon. He only rips off the arms of children.
Why are all the murderers gay?
Yeah. Why are all the murderers gay? No, not just gay. Gay icons.
Sorry, yeah, they're queer.
Yeah. And he's dating the Babadook, because why not? I mean, if you're just going to adopt all of the positions of the villains, okay, weird. Like, oh, these evil guys who are murdering everything, they're our guys.
Pennywise, like, stalk kids as well.
Yep. Evil murderous clan that stalks kids.
And the left are like, that's my boy.
Yep. Carlos Maz is like, hey, me too. And so it seems that they are essentially so totally devolved morally at this point. They're lost in the hatred. And this was really on show with something called the New Guy meme. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah, because PewDiePie got his house burgled. And because PewDiePie is a wealthy and successful person, some SJW made a comic about it. Where, if you can scroll down, I don't know whether you can see the actual full thing. It's only like one panel. You can scroll down a bit. There we go. Where this the new guy at work, he's saying, well, you know, she's laughing at the fact that a multi-millionaire gamer bro douchebag totally got robbed. Ha, ha, ha. And he's like, well, how would you feel if you were robbed? And she was like, oh, we're going to be good friends. And he's like, wow, really? And she's like, hell no. And literally, this went totally viral because everyone was like, yeah, but he's the good guy. Mm. You're the villain.
The leftist in the comic is freaking evil.
Yes. And that's exactly right. And we actually have a podcast on this in Lotuses, but I didn't get it up because it would have explained why. But anyway, so this is the point. The new guy, to her, is being the villain, and PewDiePie is being the villain, despite being an apparently virtuous man. But most importantly, out of all of these people who are villains, we come to this. Is Lord of the Rings prejudiced against orcs?
Oh, God.
Isn't that what Sauron would ask?
These are my people.
They are his people. They're exactly his people. This was an article from 2018 in Wired magazine, in a leftist outlet, about a guy called Andy Duncan who wrote a book called Senator Bilbo. Senator Bilbo first appeared in 2001, but its references to border walls and a Shire First policy make it seem more relevant than ever. I would vote for Senator Bilbo.
Who wouldn't? The Shire's lovely. Well, you want to keep protected.
Sauron wouldn't.
No.
Maybe he'd even join the Labour Party.
Tear down these walls, build bridges to Mordor, not walls.
Yeah, exactly. Says Sauron Corbyn. Duncan says it's because the story deals with themes that are unfortunately timeless. In many ways, Trump was unique, but in many ways, we've seen his light before. We've seen forces that he's tapped into in the ascendancy before. Yes, he's tapped into forces that say maybe foreigners shouldn't be allowed to destroy the Shire. I think that's good. It's hard to miss the repeated notion in Tolkien that some races are just worse than others, or that some peoples are just worse than others. And this seems to me, in the long term, if you embrace this too much, it has dire consequences for you and your society.
That's such a weird position, because you're looking at the orcs destroying everything, and you're like, yeah, that's just what orcs do.
It's diversity.
No, but you could also argue that's incredibly racist against the orcs from the author.
Yes.
Whoa. You're just looking at the balance. Why don't you look at all the universities the orcs are building, presumably elsewhere?
In Mordor, yeah, exactly. It's racist against orcs, you see. And so anyway, this all stems from the book club that we will be doing soon on Rousseau's Discourse of Inequality. Because it's very interesting that Rousseau has this premise that man isn't really born good or evil. He is made evil by society, right? From his Discourse on Inequality in part one, he says, it would seem that because in the state of nature, men have no kind of moral relationships to each other, nor any recognized duties that would be neither good nor evil, and could have neither vices nor virtues. Let us not conclude with Hobbes that man is naturally wicked because he has no idea of goodness, or vice-ridden because he has no knowledge of virtue. Savages are not wicked precisely because they do not know what it is to be good. So that's why the orcs aren't evil. They don't know what it is to be good, so we can't call them evil. It's like, you know, what if they're just evil? But that'd be prejudice. He credits man with one natural virtue, pity. It's like, okay, where's the pity in the orcs? Right? And so you see this, you might be like, well, hang on a second, that was written 300 years ago. I'm not going to hear a leftist saying that now, am I? Am I? Except you exactly will. Let's play this clip.
Stardust and aristocracy aren't good people. They're not good people. They're toxic people, and I hate them.
I thought we didn't label people as good or bad.
Yeah, but they're fucking morally disgusting people. They're bad people.
I thought.
Wait, what did I do? What the?
So this is just online leftists having a spat in their own stupid little communities where they've been cyberbullying each other and being awful to them. And so they've got to be like, well, look, that person's a bad person. They're morally disgusting. And then we didn't call people good or evil. Why? Why would you not call people good or evil? Who has ever in the history of mankind, other than Rousseau, said that man was never, there was a point where man was neither good nor evil? No one. That's the only place I can ever find this. And so they've returned to this position of like the moral state of nature where society is the corrupting force and they bear no responsibility for their own decisions. Even though this person's like, well, look, I just can't accept that. They were acting badly. You know, they must be responsible for the things they do. They can't avoid it. But so this whole line of thought, and this is all leftist thought, assumes that anyone who's successful must be evil in some way because society is the corrupting force. That's what is evil. And so it's what creates the vice. But the thing is, and let's just be perfectly clear about this, leftist, if that's true of you, if that's true of me, if that's true of the orcs, why should Sauron be any different? How could you resist Sauron if he just said trans rights? In the same way you wouldn't resist murderous dolls and like the hordes of orcs that are invading Gondor, why should Sauron be any different, Owen? And the thing is, this is such a long-standing meme, like go and look up hashtag OrcWatch on your favorite social media platform. You can see this everywhere. Just this constant meme of, can you get this picture up, John? Just so you can see. You guys are the ones who are arguing for those people who come to these our countries and then do terrible things. This is just a constant meme. If we can get to the next one.
I mean, do you remember when we were doing deportations via planes? Mm-hmm. Like, we were sending a bunch of guys. I think one plane to Jamaica was prolific for this as well.
Yep.
Had, like, a couple of murderers on it, a bunch of rapists. And there were lawyers at the last minute defending the rapists and whatnot, being like, whoa, they haven't had their human rights checked yet. I was like, but they're convicted. We're sending them back to Jamaica.
That's literally it.
There were people jumping in front of the planes to stop the planes from leaving.
We know they've done something wrong. Yeah, but. And it's like, yeah, but you're saying they weren't really responsible for that. Society made them do it. That's what you're saying. You know, the vices are only because we are civilized men and these uncivilized men have no vices. So it's totally wrong. And of course, all of their rhetoric, you can get this picture up as well, it fits perfectly with any kind of left-wing rhetoric. You know, discrimination at Minas Tirith. Xenophobic inhabitants openly admit that orcs aren't welcome there.
How could the men of the West do this?
Yeah, exactly. How could they do this to our perfect orcs who are running around getting convicted for murders? You know, it's unbelievable. And you see this rhetoric exactly in Momentum. Right, let's go to the next one. This is just their pinned tweet. Breaking. Conservatives' new bill would give them the power to deport 2 out of 5 non-white people in England and Wales. This racist bill must be opposed. What, because illegal immigrants would get deported?
But there are plenty of white ones as well. Yeah. They're not mentioned there.
Exactly.
Racial nationalism.
There'd be loads of Eastern Europeans who'd be deported too.
But like, we're talking about criminals.
Yes.
I'm like, yes, but they're our people.
They're perfect. They did nothing wrong. Anything that happened to them was systemic racism, as in the society around them made them evil. And so their terrible crimes of, you know, the Jamaicans who had committed murders and stuff, well, that's your fault. You're a racist. And this has been well parodied in the Facebook page The Daily Gondor. Can you get the post up that I actually got there? In the doc, I replaced that one with a post. It's again, shockingly apt, because all of leftist rhetoric creates this framework. Malthus Sauron warns of a backslide in orc rights if Mordor falls.
I suppose.
Good. Of course it does. But anyway, go give the Daily Gondor a follow. It's really, really funny. And Sauron says trans rights, and so he must be accepted into the Labour Party because he is now a progressive.
Let's go to video comments.
Well, trying to look as Canadian as possible for this.
You did a good job.
Carl, we seem to have a problem with weebs. Will there be a final solution to the weeb problem?
If anyone's got any ideas, send me a message on a postcard.
There are plenty of kinds of weebs as well. Like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about the guys who are obsessed with Hitler and Germany and World War II and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, do you know the military community they call weeboos? Like W-E-H-R.
Right, yeah.
And it's the same for all kinds of things like that. Yeah. People are just obsessed with it. It's just, stop.
It's okay. I don't discriminate against the kind of weeb that I'm going to find a final solution
You're
to.
You're all weebs.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to the next one.
Coral, the taboo surrounding cancer has been persistent throughout almost all cultures, and it was only until mid-century, last century, that the West kind of freed itself of the stigma of cancer. Might be an interesting thing for you to look into from a historical perspective, but cancer has always been considered an unclean or taboo thing.
Hmm. I did not know that.
That was in reference to when we did.
Yeah,
that.
No, I remember.
Okay,
yeah.
Just so you know.
So I was unaware of why cancer was such a stigmatized disease. I mean, it's not contagious. Like a contagious disease, I can totally understand someone stigmatizing. Like, don't come near me. I don't want to get your disease. But if it's a non-contagious disease, why would you care?
I've always wondered as well, like, when did we figure out cancer was real?
Good question.
Kind of sounds like a dumb question, but because surely it's meant to kill you from the inside and it's not visible, right? So. Yeah.
Well, so, sometimes you can become.
Yeah, but not always. Let's go to the next one.
And now we come to the other best friend of the main character, Ida. Now, what is Ida's reason for doing what he does? Well, his family are from a long line of heroes, and he wishes to continue that tradition, to the point where when his brother is crippled in a fight with a supervillain, he takes on his hero name to continue his legacy. I mean, I don't know how you get more Dadaist than that. My Hero Academia, the Dadaist anime.
I was going to say I'm not in favour of banning anime because I'm a free speech absolutist, but I'm starting to change my position on that.
It's on the same level as porn.
Yeah.
Although I am interested in what's in that vivarium, so I don't know if you've got a rabbit or a hamster or what in there. But...
yeah, tell us about that.
I like the animals.
That sounds more interesting.
Let's go to the next one.
This one's more for Carl. I've been wanting to get into Aristotle for some time now, but I'm not sure which of his works to begin with. I'm pretty sure someone else already asked this in the early days of the podcast, but I can't remember which episode it was, so here I am. Anyways, thanks in advance, good afternoon, and God bless.
It depends what your interests are, really. Aristotle wrote a lot, or at least people wrote a lot of what he said. But, I mean, if you're looking for, like, right and wrong and concepts of virtue, Nicomachean Ethics, you can read his Politics or his Metaphysics, or, you know, he's got a bunch of other stuff. But I'd start with the Ethics.
Just like the old-timey art behind him, just the little spooky, scary skeletons holding hands.
Yeah. What's great about Aristotle though is that if you're gonna read Aristotle, read Plato first, because Plato has got all of these like ideas, and Aristotle's like, these are all wrong. Everything about this is wrong. Like I studied linguistics recently, and like Plato's like, yeah, so I think there might be. Like, just like my forms, these divine words that the gods use. And all our language is, like, derived from the language of the gods. And we're just trying to figure out, like, the harmonies of the universe. And Aristotle's like, no, we're not, you effing retard. We use these words because we need to be able to, construct and transmit very simple sentences to one another. And so they start off very simple, and they get more complex as society gets more complex. Obviously, dumbass. The whole of Aristotle is basically him telling Plato he's a retard.
Is he not arguing for kind of like a god language there?
Plato is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's just insane on the face of it, but yeah.
Absolutely. And this is why Aristotle's like, Like Aristotle, though, is great. Plato, I think he was from Athens, and Aristotle went and studied in Athens, but he's from Macedonia. And so you can tell he's from like the backwards sort of, you know, peasant folk. And he's, you know, very practical. And he comes to Athens, and Plato's like an SJW with all these grand theoretical constructs. And Aristotle's like, right, that's all wrong. And then just goes home.
Let's go to the next one.
People don't want freedom. They want boundaries, rules, protection from invaders and from themselves. People need a leader who can give them both the support and the constraints to keep chaos at bay. You give them that, and they'll follow. This monologue from Antagonist of 2014's Advanced Warfare trailer seems to be ahead of its time, not only because it was voiced by Kevin Spacey, but because it came from a game that aged like milk while the trailer aged like wine. Despite being unintentional, it's more relevant now than it was nearly a full decade ago, and I think the game should be lauded for its themes, if nothing else.
The people want freedom while they have security. And while they don't have security, they do not want freedom.
You ever heard of Francis Fukuyama?
Yeah.
Like, he's getting mentioned in a bunch of the books I'm reading, especially about North Korea. People are just like, yeah, well, you know, the society and all of human history is towards progress, and therefore towards...
Yeah, have you never read anything? Have you never read The End of History?
It's just like, are you an actual retard or something?
Yeah, yes.
I don't know how he wrote that.
He's Recantador.
He's taken seriously.
He's Recantador.
Oh, well, thank bugger for that.
Because he wrote The End of History, being like, the progressive liberal paradigm will be the last paradigm. It's like, this paradigm is obviously dying. And he's like, yeah, I was wrong.
Hmm.
So yes, you were wrong. I mean, you wrote it in like the 90s.
Sure. It still gets referenced all the time for people arguing, yes, of course China will fall. And it's like,
yeah,
you wrote this in 2000?
Was it in 2000?
No, just whatever I'm reading. Right.
I'm sure it was in like 98 or something, 97. Yeah. So like he's in the in the heat of the sort of, in the very depths of the sort of, you know, liberal paradigm that was powerful at the time. The Soviet Union has just fallen. Everything looks great for the West. We haven't yet been infected everywhere by communists. And he's like, yeah, so this is the end of history. This is going to be, you know,
It's weird silliness where everyone just assumed that all the authoritarians would stop.
This will never change. You're an idiot. Yeah. He's not an idiot. And he did recant it, but it's just funny. You know?
Sure, yeah. It's just, I can't believe that was taken seriously by anyone. I mean, himself included. Though.
No one
really. Maybe it's just because it's so different.
Yeah, like the because there was no social media, you didn't get to see anything else. But we've got apparently 10 more video comments. So
I finished The Impossible State, and that was written 10 years ago. And the dude in there takes it seriously in 2010. And he's like, bye. But then 10 years from now, North Korea will have fallen. And I'm sat here in 2022. You've been like, how did you not see you?
The West is literally collapsing.
Let's go to the next one.
So I'm getting kind of sick of seeing these posts on these left-wing atheist channels. Mm. And I was wondering, as an atheist yourself, Kyle, is there any right-wing atheist page or channel that you can recommend? I know you recommend Atheist for Liberty, but I was just wondering if there was any other right-wing or, dare I say, conservative atheist pages or groups.
Great. Now I really want to play Rome Total War.
Really?
Yeah, I love Rome.
I was getting like anxiety watching that because I hate Rome Total War 2.
Really? Why?
I can't stand it. I don't know what it is. Just the way the units work, the way everything's so different to Rome 1.
Well, that changed. Like they modded, not they modded, but like they released patches to sort that out. And so then
you said that, and then I re-downloaded it. Took all day to download. Well, played it for like 2 days, and then went, "What am I doing?" I can't remember. I think it might have been Darth mod or something.
You need Divide et Imperator.
Okay,
it's really good. But anyway,
I don't trust you. I'm going to download it again and be disappointed.
I enjoy it. Anyway, the only one I follow really is Atheist for Liberty. I think the atheist paradigm has kind of killed itself at this point.
Atheist paradigm.
Yeah, the new atheist paradigm. So I don't really care about it anymore. Like, no one's debating God.
You know? No, it's kind of quaint when you run across a video when someone's still like debunking God or atheists are wrong or something. It's just like, I don't know, maybe it's just because we're in different circles, but it seems strange.
It's very old-fashioned to me, and I don't care. What was I going to say? Atheist Republic. I really like Armin, who's the guy who runs it. I've spoken to him a bunch of times. He's a really nice guy. But they're not woke, and they don't want to be woke, but you can see them almost falling into it, because that's where the logic of the materialist philosophy leads them. And so they're at the precipice of being woke, and they're like, I don't know. And so they'll post like, should we do woke thing? And the comments are like, no, you know, why are you even asking this? You know? And so they're constantly on the precipice of looking into the more of wokeness and being like, how did we get here? It's like, yeah.
Every time he gets that close, you should share it on your own page. Just with like Christ is King.
I don't say Christ is King, but I do share it.
But like as a warning and just being like, look, you keep doing this, I can become a Christian.
Yeah, I might.
Get the next one.
Readers are advised to remember that the devil is a liar. Not everything that Screwtape says should be assumed to be true, even from his own angle.
Written as a series of letters from the demon Uncle Screwtape in hell to his nephew Wormwood among the living on earth, they counsel the tempting of a man. Deliciously mean-spirited, yet with some astutely anti-woke framing, this book is decades ahead of its time. John Cleese is not a good reader for this. I point you to Audible's version narrated by Joss Ackland, whose voice drips with malice in the role.
I will read C.S. Lewis at some point.
I'm always worried how much Alex is reading. I'm assuming this is stuff on his bookshelf, because if he's getting through these books so fast, I'm kind of scared.
Well, he's doing audiobooks, sensibly.
Let's go to the next one.
Happy Friday to everyone. Hey. I just had a random idea. I know a lot of these video comments, sometimes they can be very funny or make a very good point in a very short amount of time. And someone like Carl or Callum will usually say something like, oh, you know, save that to the drive or something like that. So I was just had the idea, you know, maybe like halfway through the year or at the end of the year or at some point during one of the hangouts, you guys could just do maybe like a go through a best of or some of the funniest ones and just kind of like watch and hang out and react to them together. You could have all the different presenters on, just an idea.
It's not a bad idea either. If we've got like the good ones in storage somewhere, we should do that.
I usually just, if I can remember, go over, take them out and shove them on social media because I just think they're very good. Like the most recent one I did was H3H3's video for, I can't remember who it was.
I reposted it.
Something Wizard? Sorry, I'm getting your name wrong.
Yeah, so I can't remember, but I reposted it because it was good.
It was brutal as well.
But I mean, why would you listen to the experts if your baby's literally starving? Carry on.
I was paying too much attention to my book to realise I wasn't being made fun of the first time that I heard the video message. So, yeah, okay, wasn't being made fun of, but again, if you want video file, any of you, just Sultan Shadley, just ask. That being said, though, as impressive as power armor may look to some, with my main and base martial art being Japanese jiu-jitsu, when I see someone making power armor, my first thoughts go to, but can I throw it? I really want to find out.
I mean, probably not. That thing looks like it weighs a ton.
Like, I didn't see the power armor.
Oh, some dude, he's got a huge mech thing.
Right,
okay. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know how he made it, but I always love power armor as a concept as well. I really want to see it come to life at some point.
Well, yeah.
Is that another one, or are we going back? Another one, let's go.
Callum, dark matter is actually called dark matter because we can't see it, but we can see that there's something there that behaves like matter. Ergo, dark matter. It's there, but you can't see it. And you can't see stuff in the dark. So it's actually really basic. And to be offended by it is proof of stupid.
Yeah.
You've got a degree in physics.
No, I misspoke. Because technically it's sort of like we don't understand it in that sense because you can't see it. Yeah. So that's... it's
even I knew that.
But yeah, there was this physicist lady who was like, "It's people say it represents black people. It doesn't. It represents black Jews."
What?
it was insane.
But that's a hot take that I'd never seen before.
It was mostly the point of just like, she's a physics professor, but also she's like the head of women's studies. And she's just cramming like women's studies and stuff into physics, where it clearly doesn't belong.
Oh, I think you're wrong. I think it clearly does belong there, Callum.
Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Gravitational lensing.
I hate physics. I want to see it burn to the ground.
Why?
Return to engineering. failed A-level physics, so I turned up to like half the lectures. And then I was like, I had to sit an exam. I was like, I don't know any of this. It's like, well, that's what I get for not turning up to the lectures, isn't it?
To be honest, you weren't missing anything.
No, I know.
Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with a request for Gettysburg, Pennsylvania ghost at the battlefield. Gettysburg is way too much for me to cover in 30 seconds. There are a ton of ghosts and a ton of... battlefield there. I have not been to the battlefield myself, but
loads
Greg Newling, the New Jersey native, captured this footage there, and you can see a ghost running around the cannons, perhaps loading them for all eternity.
What now, skeptic?
It's a piece of... It's a droplet.
No, it's not. It's a ghost. Very clearly a ghost.
All right, ghosted eyes, BTFO. There are millions and millions of ghosts at Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Go to the power armor. We actually have a mad scientist building power armor.
Yeah, pretty much. One of the good things about mad scientist types is that it's not only acceptable to be weird, but people expect you to be weird.
It's like Gorka Morka.
Now I've got a very important question to ask you. What is literally worse than Mecha Hitler?
Donald J. Trump.
That's so cool. That's such a fun looking project.
If you are going to do some like joke memes around it as well, I would love to see some orc stuff on it.
Because the
way it's built there, it looks like scrap.
It looks like a Gorkonaut.
Yeah.
Like an actual Gorkonaut. Like,
this is me, Gargan.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
So I'm going to be prefacing this 6-part series on tying in an electrical panel by saying that I personally enjoy a lot of different anime. But I don't want to hear about any of your guys' anime preferences. That's literally the least interesting thing you can possibly say about yourself.
Yes.
You know, talk about your skills, your hobbies, your job, anything, really.
Build something.
And, so I'll go through the step-by-step process that I take to tie in a panel.
See, Academic Agent and I have this thing where it's like, oh, we're friends of the working men. Yeah. But neither of us are working men. Both very, in fact, what a coincidence that he would be the next topic.
What do you make?
And he was doing a stream the other day talking about what's going on in the Middle East. And they were like, well, there's a giant pipeline that's going down the Middle East, and this is what everyone's arguing about. And he didn't really understand how it worked. And I mean, to be honest, neither did I. But he was like, so is it like some giant pipe? And they're like, no, it's about 14 inches long. And he's like, oh. And I was like, yeah, what? Really? I expected it to be a massive pipeline. But no, it's only about that big, apparently. And so I was like, right, okay, yeah. And basically people were mocking us. Like, yeah, look at those friends of the working men. So look, friends of the working men, not working men, all right?
It reminds me of like Friends of Gibraltar or Society kind like of, that. Kind of, yeah. It's just like, we're friends of the country.
Yeah. Like, I'm not a working man. I don't know how big these pipelines are or how these things work. But that's one of the things I like about watching these things. I do love watching things being built. You know, so I'm excited for that little series.
Let's go to the next one.
Carl, in reference to your stream with AA and Charlemagne a few weeks ago, what about the Boomer Truth regime do you believe besides the claim that the West was under threat during World War II? And while this likely was true for Britain, I'm not sure it was for the US. Also, this recent video from the Distributist refutes the anime's base point that some of the anime evangelists here have been making recently.
There are lots of things, to be honest. Like, the idea that the Nazis weren't evil, obviously they were, you know. The idea that it's not terrible for them to commit a genocide, yeah, it was. You know, like, all of these things are, like, core parts of the truth of the Boomer Truth narrative. And it is morally justified, based on those pieces of truth, to do what was done. And also, I really don't like the idea of somehow trying to upend all of that, because that makes you in a position where you're saying, well, the Nazis actually weren't that bad. So yeah, they were, you know, they just weren't that bad to like, you know, the Germans maybe, but even then I think that's a contestable claim. But that flips the narrative around, so now we can be the villains of World War II, and I don't think we should make ourselves the villains of World War II.
I didn't see this discussion, but it sounds retarded.
Yeah, that's what Antifa want. This is the Antifa narrative. No, because we're the source of wokeism, basically. And so to destroy wokeism, we have to turn the narrative back on ourselves to destroy ourselves. It's like, yeah, I don't think that's the idea.
Make any kind of sense.
Well, yeah, he spends a lot of time in a Welsh cabin thinking.
But like, you're always comparing to what? Sorry, the Nazis are good compared to what?
Not that they're good, that they're not the greatest evil. Mm, it's like, well, the point is, though, like, it's all depending on the relative position, because
I mean, you've got a debate between them and the Japanese or the Soviets. I mean, who's worse?
I would say probably the Nazis, because they were open and self-conscious about wanting to target a particular demographic within the country. And the thing is, this is the worst, relatively speaking, to what a state actor is, right? So the liberal state that sort of, you know, is the blueprint of the paradigm in the beginning of the 20th century, the worst thing it can do is use this phenomenal state power to target a section of its own population for extermination, right? And so that's why the Soviets tried to cover it up. But the Nazis, I mean, they did try to cover it up, but, like, you know, the propaganda was pretty open. And so it's like, it is the worst thing that the government can do is target a segment of its own population for destruction. And the fact that the Nazis did that does make them the worst, you know, the ultimate evil from the perspective of our liberal politicians. That is the worst thing the politicians
can do. We don't have time for the debate, but I could make a bunch of arguments about why the Soviets did exactly the same thing.
I'm not saying they didn't, but the
what's your own population is essentially the question.
Exactly. That's exactly the argument the Germans were making as well. You know, these aren't Germans. But the Soviets at least had the good graces to lie about things. You know, whereas the Nazis were like, well, these aren't Germans, we're just going to, you know.
Depends who's asking. But also, you got to look at the Japs in China, especially.
Oh, yeah, they're all terrible.
But whole other debate for another time.
But
let's go.
That's the meat of it.
Wait a second. I know you.
You do?
Yep. I'm pregnant with your twin brother.
My twin brother?
In fact, he's crowning right now. Let's meet him, shall we?
Hey, that guy's dropping trowel over there.
Look away.
Oh, my God!
Hey, look at that. You could build a house with that.
Well, I'll have the pumpkin spice latte.
Surprise butt sex!
Thank you. Brave. I have no idea what I'm supposed to make of that, though.
No, we love our sponsors.
Yeah. What do I do with that now?
Let's go to the written comments on the site.
Yeah, Sarah says, it's also safe for people who usually be called TERFs. I assume she means Getter. I've had some interesting debates on Getter. I'd have been banned from what I'm saying. Now I find it's a good alternative. Someone who, like me, who identifies as centre but slightly right. Exactly. That's the constituency Getter is for. Student of History says, thank you for explaining what the hell this is. You're welcome. Will says, the problem with both Getter and Gab for me is they're both exclusively American, except for Romy Tomlinson and Getter. if I want British commentary, I still have to go to Twitter. I guess I just have to wait for the likes of Calvin Robinson and Lawrence Fox to be yeeted from Twitter. They're both on Getter, actually. So a lot of the sort of British centre-right dissidents have opened Getter accounts. So
I don't know what the metrics offer Gab, but I know that Getter has made a special influence to try and be global, as they say.
Because Gab's outreach is quite poor, to be honest.
Isn't it? It's mostly America, not...
Well, no, it's just it mostly doesn't do outreach.
Oh, okay.
You know, like Jason Miller is constantly going around pressing the flesh and like, you know, we're going to this country and that country. And that's why he's got to create a platform that can appeal to so many people. Like, Torba's like, First Amendment, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, American. You know, like, don't know, there's no outreach there at all.
That's his decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. It comes down to the character of the two people. Mm-hmm. And this is why they're not the same thing, is basically what I'm trying to get at. And as Henry, in fact, here points out, fighting between Getter and Gab just lets Twitter win. I can see why Getter are twitchy about things like being associated with white nationalists. That's what got Gab and Parler's goodwill nuked in the second it looked like a legitimate challenge. Once Getter reaches a critical mass, it could legitimately bat accusations of being white nationalists only away by pointing out that Twitter has official ISIS and Taliban accounts on its platform, but can't relax because the left would latch onto it and kick it off. But Torba's ultimate point there is that, yeah, but you're using their server, their infrastructure. So ultimately, when they decide that the guillotine needs to fall, it will fall. And so Getter really need to get ahead of that and start building their own infrastructure. And I think they've got the money to do it as well, so they should crack on with that.
Yeah. Even to like a bare minimum, so in case we do get guillotined, we can survive until we get...
So you don't get parlored, you know? So even if you get taken off the App Store and stuff, people can still go to your website. You know, that's what you need. Noodle Rich says, in my opinion, there is honestly no such thing as free speech absolutist. Everyone has a limit about what should and shouldn't be allowed. Even Torba with pornography. I used to see myself as one, but then I realized there were things I certainly wouldn't agree with, like CP being a prime example, of course. On the grounds of Getter or Gab, I'd just rather go on mines. Getter's days are numbered, however, just being hosted by Amazon. Torba is 100% right on Silicon Valley. Yeah, the ill will of Silicon Valley might be sleeping now, but it won't be forever. But anyway, let's go on to the next segment.
To be honest, I just find the notification system on Gab weird. I don't know if it's just my settings or something.
I just wish they'd develop an app. And they're like, yeah, but we're not on the app stores. Like, okay, but just develop one I can download from your website.
I find like finding comments is just a pain, frankly.
Yeah.
And I'd rather that be worked on than...
Yeah, but I would rather an actual app for Gab. Sure. I mean, I use it in my browser, obviously. But... I'd rather a professional, proper one. But I think we're out of time there.
So on Jordan Peterson, we're literally out of time. So I'll do one comment and then we'll do one on the last one. So M1 Ping says, nothing advertises the effectiveness of a vaccine better than saying it only protects you if you're the people without it are segregated out of society.
That was about the bit of the end.
Yeah.
But student of history, literally, I'm a murderer, but I'm not an anti-gay monster. As if that's worse. Murdering someone's bad, but that is a temporary in the here and now. Being anti-gay affects like an entire eternal
side of history forever.
It's like the platonic form of moral righteousness that's being attacked when you're against gayness. Like, so it's just floating forever across time and space. And someone came up, they damaged that continuum of perfection.
I mean, I don't know how you say it. Asita Shakur? I don't know how you pronounce her name.
Asita Shakur.
Yeah, but it's just the funniness as well. I get the whole, like, anti-cop things. There's a metric there. But you're still just killing some innocent guys because leftism.
Yeah.
Well, you're the Chucky there, being like, well, at least I'm a leftist.
Well, yeah, well, welcome to Mordor. But also, George Windsor, leftist. Don't call groups of people evil. Also leftist. F white men.
And on that note, it's time to end the show. So if you'd like more from us, go to lotuses.com. Please do subscribe because that's how we fund the show. And also, you get access to all the premium content.
Yeah, no, I refused the money from Getter, which would have been a lot of money.
Yeah.
So go and subscribe. These morals are expensive, damn it.
Thank you. We'll be back on Monday, 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
It was so much as well.
Absolutely.
The app's right here. Yep. And that's just a link to the web page.
No, I know, but he's actually he's not on your browser. This is not my browser.
Isn't it?
No. It's the same layout because the actual app is basically HTML.
Right. Okay. Well, I just use the browser anyway.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.